Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Our Foreign View, the show where we bring people from around the globe to show their foreign perspectives. I am Gabriel, I'm your Cardiaca host, and today I have...
Hi, I'm Rama, and I am a student of the world, born in Nigeria.
Hello guys, I'm Camila, Brasileira Sorridente.
Hey guys, this is Sydney, and I am your not Canadian American.
Again. All right, guys. So today we have a roster of another two Brazilians, a Nigerian, and a not Canadian person. Today we're going to be talking about school. A lot of you guys said that the weird foods was pretty fun, and we thought that there's a lot to talk about school systems too. And today we have people who have a lot to talk about this. Rama, how many schools have you studied in? Like, how many countries have you studied in?
Okay, I think countries would be easier. I've studied in, throughout childhood, Egypt, Nigeria, Italy, France, and the States, so five different countries.
Five different countries. And now you're a professor here in America.
And now I'm a teacher, yes.
Sydney, how many countries have you studied in?
One.
Canada?
Not Canada.
I mean, Vermont is almost there, so we're just going to count it as another country.
I technically studied in New Zealand, but
it was
more like a glorified vacation. So we're not counting that.
If that's the case, I studied in England too for like...
Yeah, exactly.
2 weeks.
No, one country, just the U.S.
Not Canada.
two states.
Okay, and what about you, Camila?
I went to school in Brazil, and now I'm in school here. So two countries.
I think that we can start the conversation with the basic. Let's start with like primary school. Is that the right term?
Yeah, for me, I think that's how I always knew it as primary school. When I got here, it was elementary, middle, and then high.
Yeah.
This is a good place to start. Like the structure of schools are kind of different from what I was used to in Brazil. Like here in America, you guys have elementary school and then you don't go to a different school, which is middle school, and then you go to a different school again for high school.
Do you mean school or like building?
Yeah,
when
building.
You say school.
Yeah, build like.
But like it's an entirely different system?
It's kind of different. It's like the same amount of years that we have in Brazil. We still have 12 years of school, but it's separated differently. First of all, like high school in Brazil, it's 10th to 12th grade.
So it's 3 years?
Yeah, it's just the last 3 years.
And everything else is considered primary?
Yeah, like from first grade to fifth grade, Camila, it's fundamental learning school or whatever. I don't know how to translate it, but yeah. And then from sixth grade until ninth grade, it's fundamental school too.
Which my school didn't have ninth grade.
What?
Yes, I did like from first grade to eighth grade.
Yeah, it's because like the names changed.
Yes.
In the middle of like when me and Camila were in school, the names changed. The numbers changed too. But it's like ninth grade. Like the eighth grade is the what's now ninth grade. It's confusing even for Brazilians. Don't worry, people. it's confusing for everybody. But yeah, and then like from 10th, 11th and 12th are high school. But like most schools, you don't change buildings. From like elementary school to middle school, from middle school to high school, right? Right, Camila?
Well, I switched school three times. So so I did first to fourth, and then I did fifth to eighth, and then I did 10th, 11th, 12th, and then yeah.
You pretty much did what I just said that Brazilians don't do.
Yes. Which is not very common, though. It's not very common. People usually stay in one school.
Yeah, exactly. Why was that? Like,
what
like
happened?
The schools that you were before?
When I was growing up, we moved houses. So I had to move the school.
The schools that you were in, they had the other grades if you wanted to continue there, right?
Yes. I think the one of the schools that I did my second year in high school, they started on first grade. And then all the way through high school in one building.
Yeah, that's kind of the normal in Brazil. Like you can find difference. Like you can find schools that are just specified for high school and what else. But like, what about in the country that you were studying in elementary school, Rama? Was it Egypt? Was it France? Was it Italy?
I think it might be a little bit different because when I went to school in Egypt, Italy and in France, I went to private schools. So naturally, most private schools go from nursery school all the way through to year 13 because it was a British system. So it wasn't like 12th grade, it was year 13. The schools went all the way through. When I went to school in Nigeria, it was from nursery. So it's nursery is like, I think you're 4 or 5 or you're maybe 3 or 4. I don't know. You're really little. It's before kindergarten and pre-K.
Like preschool?
Yeah, maybe it's like pre-K, but it was called nursery school. You learn numbers and stuff. That went from like nursery school all the way through, I think age, it's so far back. I think till you're 12 or 13. And then you go to a different school. So you're in the same building, different classroom. But other than that, yeah, most of all the private schools went from nursery through you graduated.
In all the countries, in France, Egypt, and Italy.
In all the countries. But I think that's a private school thing. But I do know the local schools for sure in Paris. Those also went from nursery all the way through. Yeah, I think till you graduate as well. Unless they like start to outgrow their building, then they might purchase a building somewhere else. But yeah, it's only in America, it seems that you go to at least 3 different buildings from kindergarten to high school. Yeah.
Do you as a professor or you, Sydney, as a not Canadian person, have any guess on like, why is that? Like,
I don't know. I'm still confused because I went to like 3 different buildings, but it was still like part of the same system. Like the elementary school was like at the bottom of a hill, mm-hmm. and you would keep driving to go up to like the high school. So I don't know if that's what you mean, but like when I graduated high school, I still had people that I went to first grade with.
But that's because you guys have the assigned schools thing, and that makes you keep going to the same school as long as you don't change addresses.
Yeah.
So it makes it seem like it's like one big thing. But if you were to change addresses, you would change the school, right? In Brazil, if you moved, you can still go to the same public school.
Yeah, that's pretty different here. Yeah.
Not only like private school, but like...
Public too?
Public too.
Yeah, public schools. Yeah. The way the public schools work in Brazil, you got a spot, you get in. That's it. Like obviously people try to apply to the school that is closest to their house. But if you were to move to like an hour from the school, we can still keep going to the same school.
When you say apply, does it mean that it can get denied or do you mean enroll in any school?
No, yeah, just enroll actually. You can't. I think you can't get denied.
Yeah, like is it competitive in first
grade? No. I mean, there are some public, like there are some like specialized public schools, like military public schools that you have to apply and you can get denied, I feel like.
So basically, it's just like if you want to go there and they have a spot.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you move...
Spot's still yours.
Yeah, it's your spot's still yours, exactly.
My first year of high school, I was in one school. And then my parents decided to move houses. We moved like probably like 40 minutes away from that school. And then I did 1 year in a school that was closer. But because I liked the school that I was before, even though we were living 40 minutes away, my dad just... enrolled me back to the other school. So I was driving basically 40 minutes.
I didn't go to public school, but my school was also like an hour away from my house.
Rich. Rich. I went to public school my entire life.
I was privileged. So I have to accept that. But my sister also went to public school. Her school wasn't like super close to my house at all.
Well, I thought it was interesting that you could go to any school.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you can literally go. Like, do you know if there's, I mean, you didn't go to public schools in the other countries that you went to.
Yeah, I went to private schools.
Since you know how like the French system worked a little bit, do you know if they like have assigned schools as well? Or is it like just...
I think an assigned school is an American thing. That's what it's feeling like. And then it begs to, now I have this question of, does it have to do with economic background? From a teacher's perspective, I know for a fact that people who have a wealthier tax bracket and live in a wealthier neighborhoods, their students or their kids have access to, I don't necessarily want to say better education, but more resources for various reasons. I don't like to call, you know, like injustice unless it's, you know, founded on evidence. But it's sounding like if other countries are less restrictive and you can go to school anywhere, why is it only in the United States, no matter what state? Because in the United States, I've lived in California, I've lived in Kansas, California, Vegas, and now Maryland. it's the same thing where it's based on you have to go to a school that is zoned for your zip code. And sometimes even within the zip code, depending on if you live in an apartment or you live in a house, also depends on what school you go to. And it's always like, if you live in the apartment area, the school you're zoned for is might be like a 5 out of 10. But if you live in a house, even if the school is like 5 minutes down the street, it might be an 8 out of 10.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I feel like it might seem that it's more fair, the system that I just told you in Brazil, that like you can go to wherever the hell you want. But the truth is that public schools, in average, they're worse than public schools here. So like it doesn't really matter if you want to go to a different school that's like 2 hours from you. It's probably going to be not much better than the one that you have close to your house. So the only opportunity that I see that it's a little bit of an advantage, it's that we do have like some like quote unquote better public schools. There are like military school or technical schools. They are public that you could go. It doesn't matter wherever you live, but you have to apply and you have to do this test. So again, if you didn't have a really good education in the beginning, it goes back to the same thing. People who had the best resources get to get into the best public schools, even if they don't need it. So, you know, it might seem that it's better, but it's...
I feel like if the system was disrupted and in the United States, at least you could go to any school you wanted, then that would force governments and school districts to really provide equity in schools. You wouldn't have some schools that have like one-to-one iPad usage, whereas other schools don't even have like Chromebooks or computers. And, you know, like things would be more fair across the board.
But I feel like public schools in Brazil, you still can go anywhere that you want, but the government just, I feel like they don't invest that much in the public school system. And it's just like, even though you can choose wherever you go, if you're choosing to go to a public school, it's not really good. I don't think public school is really good in Brazil.
When you say good, what does that mean? What does good look like?
I'll give an example of like what Camilla is trying to get here is that some school, I thought that it was a lot of them, but I think it's just because I had I didn't have a lot of experience in public schools here in America. Just what I saw from my sister. But for example, I thought that most schools had Chromebooks. But Brazilian public schools, none of them have Chromebooks. Like, hell, not even the private school that I was into gave me a laptop to bring home, like, at all.
They will give you books if you're lucky.
Okay. I see what you're saying. But that was an example, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. Like I went to private schools. I didn't get Chromebooks either. I didn't get iPhone. Granted, I probably went to school like 10 years before you guys did, but we didn't have like Chromebooks or laptops. We had computers when we had like information communication technology class. We had computers in the computer lab, but we didn't have like Chromebooks to take home. I had a computer at home or a laptop at home that my parents provided, but not provided by the school, even though we were paying like, I don't know how many thousands per year. I was just going to say, but the quality of education was still amazing. So it's not necessarily tied to the Chromebooks, but I can't say the same thing for public schools out here as far as the quality of education and the kind of content that was being taught and the way we were taught to think.
I completely agree that like the change on infrastructure doesn't necessarily mean that it's a better education. So having Chromebooks doesn't mean that you're getting a better education per se. A big difference that I see from schools here and schools in Brazil, and I don't know how different it was in the other countries, but like the infrastructure is like insanely better. The best example I have is offering counseling for kids in elementary school. It's insane to me. Like having counseling for kids in any school, that's just like such an advantage.
Yeah, I wish I would have had that.
Yeah, like me too. Like it's just so good like to have somebody that you can talk to and like guide you through what classes to take or just like...
So you don't have that at all?
At all.
Not even in high school?
I don't think so. Yeah, no.
But he helps you with college decisions?
No, exactly. No. That's exactly what I want to get to. No. When I was in 9th grade, I wanted to do law school. When I was in 10th grade, I wanted to do chemical engineering.
You're just changing over years.
And then on 11th grade... I changed to production engineering. And then once I got into college, I changed it to computer science. I really feel like if I had a counselor that had guided me or like had given me some tips, this would have changed a lot.
I feel like in Brazil, your counselors are your parents, basically.
Which makes you go down to, you either become a doctor or engineer or a lawyer, or you're gonna starve to death.
Oh, God. I remember when I was 14 or 15, right around the time we were taking the GCSEs, we had to take this test. It was like an aptitude test. And it was, there were probably the kind of a counselor might give you, but there were so many different parts to it. And it wasn't testing your IQ. It was testing what you enjoyed doing, what your interests were, what some of your aptitude was. And the goal was to kind of lead you into a certain kind of profession. Like it would tell you, okay, based on your ability to, I don't know, figure out this puzzle, or based on your interest in, I don't know, cooking, these are like some careers you should consider. So we had that.
You guys had that for free? Like just offered by the school?
Yeah, I was part of the school. Yeah. Well, it's not free. I'm paying for private school. But
no, yeah. Yeah, but it was included in the pricing.
Yes. Yeah.
Some of my professors in my school in Brazil, they also like encourage us to get this test. But one, it was paid apart. And two, like, you know, nobody did it. So it wasn't like really encouraging. Like nobody took it. So
I think I did online, like for free.
No, yeah.
BuzzFeed version.
I did one for free too. And he told me that I should do like, I don't know, vet school. And like, I literally hate biology.
Yeah, they would always tell me like, oh yeah, you can be an artist. And I was like, no, I want to be a lawyer. And no, you can be a interior designer. I'm like, no, I want to be a lawyer. Can you give me the answer that I want, please?
Exactly. It didn't feel like it knew me at all. I was like, oh, yeah, do vet school.
No, you didn't like what it was telling you.
I was like, no, you're wrong. Test, you're wrong. This is not who I am. This is not what I want to be.
10 years from now, Gabriel's a vet and Camilla's an artist.
Yeah, 17-year-old me, I was like, I know myself better than you, computer. Shut up.
Yes.
If I had counselors, I really appreciate having counselors, even in college, you know. But I guess that counseling makes more sense here, not only on like the perspective of like helping you with like daily stuff, but also with like guiding you with classes, because you guys have electives when you're like middle school, right? In Brazil, you don't have electives. Like people choose the classes for you and you just suck it up and take them, you know, like... There's not like, oh, I want to take art instead of taking, you know, what were the choices that Manuela had today? My sister, by the way.
Chorus.
Yeah, like
learning guitar.
Yeah, it was like, it was just like, no, like this is what you're going to take. And this is what you're going to take. And you work your ass to do good at the classes that you don't like.
Yeah, we didn't have options for language too, which here you can choose like between like Chinese, Spanish. In Brazil, it was like English. And it was a really poor English.
In some schools, there was Spanish too, but it was like, well.
Well, in private schools, because public schools, I never had the option.
I think it's because by the end of our school, Brazil entered this like agreement with other countries. And then, because my sister had the option to do Spanish, but it was just like, ugh, you know, like not really Spanish.
It's always really basic. You cannot learn a lot. I would learn more with Duolingo than going classes.
It's true. It's true. Rema, did you like on the schools that you were, did you have electives?
Yeah, we had so many. That's another reason why I wanted to homeschool my kids, because I couldn't afford private education as an adult for them. But when I was looking at American curriculum for public school, I was just dumbfounded. All I'd ever known was private school. And then, you know, the sheer number of options was, I don't know, it was, yeah, now I feel that I was kind of privileged. We had business studies. We had, like I said, computer science. We had German. We had Italian. We had French.
These were electives? Like you could choose to take either or you took all of them?
You could choose. You could decide. Everybody had to take English literature. Everybody had to take English language. Everyone had to take math. And everyone had to take chemistry, physics, and biology. That was a given. You had to do that. And then you had to take a language, but you could pick which language you wanted. And then you also had to take history. And then your choices were business studies, information communication technology, which is like computer science, design technology.
Wait, you said that you had counseling there, right? Or no?
We did have a counselor, no.
Did they help you choose these classes or was just like, whatever I want?
Your homeroom teacher could help you decide. So we had homeroom teachers and they could help you decide. But I don't know, it's based on kind of what you're interested in. So all these options were offered at a lower level, right? At a younger age. And then based on how like your child, which subject your child gravitates towards, or which options you gravitate towards as you get older would, of course, influence your decision on what topics to take. And then I know when you're 16, you take the GCSEs. And then based on your scores, the last 2 years of secondary school is called O-levels and A-levels. So in O-levels, you focus on three subjects. So for the entire year, you're only working through three subjects, of course, based on what you want to study in university. And then your A-levels, you used to focus on two subjects alone. And then, yeah, but it's based on your scores, based on your conversation with the homeroom teacher and other teachers as well who've taught you forever and kind of know, have watched you grow up based on your conversation with your parents and, yeah, what your own interests over the years.
That's pretty cool. I feel like giving the opportunity to the kid to choose like what they're more into makes more sense than forcing them just study everything. My coworker who is from Ecuador said that her high school was like similar to what you were describing right now. Like she had her classes were dedicated to what she was good at and her strengths. So yeah, I feel like that's a big plus that you don't have in Brazil.
Yeah, I don't think we don't have in any level, any education level, we don't have the choices. Even in college, you need to take what is on the schedule already.
In college, you chose your major before starting and you go to college and you don't have gen eds like you have here in America that you like study a little bit of everything. It actually helps you because it gives you a little time to like get out of your major and change drastically. Dude, like that. If you want to change your majors in Brazil, good luck.
You need to you start over again.
Yeah, like you might be able to transfer credits, but it's going to be hard. It's going to take a long time and it's not going to be easy. Like it's people are not going to help you.
No.
Because there's no gen eds. Like you take classes that were predefined since the beginning for you. Like you do have some electives, but they're like electives that are based on your major. Like if I take engineering, I wouldn't take any like history classes or like psychology, like none of these like humanities or behavioral classes at all.
I wasn't in law school in Brazil and I didn't take any math classes. And when I came back here, it was like 3 years later, I was like, oh my God, what is math? I don't remember.
Yeah.
For me, actually, like I only did one semester in Brazil of industrial engineering, but it was like really good for me. I really liked it because I didn't have to take any history classes, which I hate, or biology.
I know. I was happy to.
So I was like very happy, actually. When I got here, I was like, do I really have to take like some history classes? I mean, it was fun because I got to choose whatever I wanted. So it was fun, but it's still like, I don't want to do anthropology, you know? No, let me do my math and I'm fine, you know?
I see the perks to both sides. Like in Brazil, not having to, especially if you're paying for college, I see the perks of not being forced to take 20, 30 credits in the subject that you're not going to use in your career. I mean, you've wasted how many thousand dollars on that. However, on the other hand, I also see the benefit of having to take history and math because you're kind of being forced to learn what you otherwise wouldn't be bothered to, you know, look into. So I see both sides of it, like the pros and the cons.
But I guess like all this general education you learn in high school, I feel like in the Brazilian system, I like because I was studying everything that was related to law because like, I think as soon as you go to higher education, you're going to learn more in life. If I was going to be a lawyer, like, why do I need math? I can like take separate classes if I need to.
But I think that Gen Ed, the two upsides that I see from Gen Ed is one, I already said that it was being able to change your mind.
Yeah.
And the second upside that I see is that it forces you to grow as a person. It makes you solidify a base of knowledge on every subject. Like you need to know this. You know, like I feel like it makes you grow as a person. Like for sure, I got a lot from the anthropology class and psychology class or music class that I took. It grew me as a person. I'm not gonna use it in computer science at all. You know, I'm not gonna be checking what's the anthropology in computer science. But like I think he makes me grow as a person. So I think that it's just like an upside from Gen Ed.
You know, Gen Ed for me, I didn't have a really good experience because I took a bio class, biology, for it's a what, natural science? And I got a B. And I was like, well, I'm not going to even use biology. Why am I taking it? And like, I got a B. So now my GPA go down for something that's not even related to what I want. That's why I don't really like general studies. Yeah.
Did you do university here, Rema?
I did it here. And I hear what you guys were saying about the whole not seeing a point for gen ed or like having to take general education courses in college. Because when I came, all the stuff I was learning, like even the biology I had to take, the chemistry, the physics, the English, it was stuff I had learned in even elementary school.
Yes.
I was so shocked because I was like, why are they learning this in college?
I agree.
I've known this since I was 12. So I thought that was a waste of money. Like that was a total, complete waste of money. And also it kind of makes you lose interest in college because you're learning what you already know or you're being taught what you already know. So you're daydreaming, you're not retaining, it felt like it was a waste of time and a waste of money. But when I started my master's, because my master's was in education, and that's what I'm doing as my career. So when I started that, then I felt like, yes, I was getting my money's worth. I saw the value for education. I enjoyed my classes, but it was because what I was learning was all stuff I could use in the classroom.
No, like I completely agree. I was, I was doing a little bit of a devil's advocate, honestly. And I feel like that's a thing that a lot of foreigners get, a lot of immigrants experience, is that a lot of things that people are learning, it's like things that we have learned before. I'll give a solid example of this. My sister, she's on eighth grade, but she's doing advanced math, which is, I think she's doing like math from like 10th grade or something like that. She's like very advanced on math. And that's not because she's like super great at math. It's just because like the things that she was learning here were things that she had already learned in Brazil before coming here. And I felt the same way when I got here and did Gen Ed. Like actually not my Gen Ed, because the Gen Ed that I did were specific things like psychology and anthropology, things that I hadn't learned. But like physics, for example, were like just a bunch of high school things, like bunch of high school topics that I already knew prior to coming here. So yeah, I do see how it like makes you feel like you're not getting your money's worth on this. That brings me to another topic. I don't know if you guys agree with me, but I feel like the difficulty in school here just overall is like, I feel like people are going to hate me, but I just feel like it's easier. I feel like it's easier.
I agree.
I feel like getting an A, it's like, as long as you have time and you put like some average effort in it, you get an A or a B.
I feel the same.
Getting a C, like you really have to want to get a C, you know, like,
like that's your goal. Truth it there. I dare you to get a C.
You really have to like skip class and not give a damn.
Okay. Check this out. It even goes further. This is what I learned as an educator. You cannot, at least in Montgomery County, and I think this was the same in Clark County because I taught in Nevada before moving here as well. You can't give a student an F. A student can't, like, it's just not a thing. A D even, I think you can't give a student unless, like, in elementary school, you can't give a student a D, even though it's on there. Because your admin will, I guess, sometimes I feel like I have to watch what I say because I don't know which. But this is like, go out there into the universe and somebody's like, wait, hold on, what school does she work for? You're fired. In high school, you can miss every single class. And as long as you show up for an exam on the last day of school, you're guaranteed like a 50% or something. And 50% is no longer failing.
My God. Mike, I really hope the kids that listen to this use this information wisely.
In elementary school, they do everything possible where you can't give a kid a D. Like you just cannot. And then even for that quote unquote A, B, and C, you are sitting with that kid, basically coaching the kid. I remember getting so frustrated once during a meeting because I was trying to suggest that this kid needed like an IEP. He needed, you know, like had a learning disability because I felt I'd done everything in my power to teach the kid and he just wasn't learning. And there's some kids like that. They're struggling. And the instructional coaches are like, well, you know, what kind of instruction did you provide? What kind of scaffolding? I'm like, everything short of basically doing the work for them. And then they're suggesting that where you you tell, ask the kid a question and the kid gives you back the answer and you try to rephrase it so that the kid gets it correct and then you scribe it. So you write down the answer for the kid. And I'm like, what in the world? No, I'm not grading myself. Like, I've been so frustrated in elementary, in teaching on so many occasions because I just don't get it. I don't get it. They're hand-holding kids and it's a shame.
But you know what? I feel like it is easier and I agree. And to be honest, there are some classes that I got an A.
And you didn't learn anything, right?
Yes, I didn't learn anything. You know, I don't remember it because, you know, I think it, here the system is you do the assignment, you do the test, good. They don't ask you for you to learn. They don't help you learn. Well, I'm not going to say that don't help learning, but I think that's like a bit strong. But, you know, they are not pushing you. They are just like, okay, if you got a good grade in the test, that means that you're good.
I feel like as long as you put in average work in it, like just do all the assignments. You don't even have to succeed in all. Like you don't even have to excel. As long as you do all assignments and you go to every class, you're fine to get at least a B.
And here you get a grade for attendance. Like in Brazil, it's your job to do it, you know? It's your job to show up. Here, if you show up, they're going to give you a golden star.
Yeah, I feel like, especially in university, I feel like the treatment is a little different because like I see most of the teachers in the university in Brazil, they don't give a damn if you skip class or you don't turn in something. Like I feel like some professors are like this here, but like all professors in Brazil and higher education are like this. Like you're adult. You're an adult. You know what you have to do. Just do it.
And here, if you miss a deadline, you're just like, okay, you can do it again.
Yeah, here, I feel like you have like a more softer hand. I feel like Americans are going to hate us so much. But I really feel like...
Sydney is quiet because she doesn't agree.
Just don't tag me on Instagram on this post because my coworkers will be like, what? No, I hear you.
I know they can be hard. I really understand that it can be hard and there are subjects that are harder. I just feel like you're pushed more in education outside of America. I don't really know exactly why. I don't know if it's because we have less opportunities and there's less spots to fill.
Okay, so yeah, I get what you guys are saying. Granted, I haven't actually studied in another country, but it seems like if you put in the effort and you show up and you try, for the most part, you can do well. And I think that kind of goes back to something we were talking about earlier related to gen eds and 100 level classes. And once you get to college, I also felt like gen eds were like kind of a waste of time. Like I do get the benefit of like exploring other subjects and stuff. But a lot of times, since you're only able to take like the 100 level course, you are not learning that much, or maybe it's something you've already learned. And like, especially with 100 level classes that like you have to take for your major, for example, I do feel like it was stuff that I learned in high school, but because I wanted to do that as my major, it was like required, even though I had taken the AP class and I'd like gotten a 4 or 5. I forget like how the grading works, but like I didn't actually need to take that class. So it was like, this is stupid. I've already learned this. And I feel like it comes back to them not really knowing what everybody is doing in high school and just trying to make sure that there's like an even foundation before you start to like.
Yeah, because you have like people. So many electives and so many schools that like,
yeah, and like
people come from different backgrounds when it gets in college. Sometimes
because you've taken a class and you get an A in it, it doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can tell.
They have to like make sure that you have the foundation before they like start to build on that.
I feel like the SATs here, in this sense, they're kind of similar to what's the SAT in Brazil, which is like the ENEM. In Brazil, you don't have a lot of electives, which make people have different backgrounds and different education. But since there are so many schools and, you know, so many levels, I do feel like the Brazilian SAT is also like a way to standardize. But the SATs here, at least, I don't know, I feel like I'm biased because I hated my experience with the ENEM in Brazil. It's like literally one of the worst times in my life.
I threw up before taking the test.
Oh my gosh.
It's one of the worst experiences. It's so brutal. It's so brutal. Okay. So DNA changed a little, but the basic differences that make DNA crazier than the SATs is, first, you only have one shot a year. That's it. If you fuck up, good luck next year. The SATs, I know that you can take like several times, right? In a year? Like get it like 3-4 times, whatever.
I'm not sure the maximum, but like at least twice.
Yeah, like you can take more than once.
Yeah, like spring and fall maybe or something.
DNA, at least in my year, I don't remember, I don't know about you, Camilla, but in my year it was like 2 days.
Yeah.
And each day was like 6 hours of testing.
I think it was like 4 or 5 hours. It was pretty long.
Very long. And it has like this whole crazy system of rating. It's all based on this freaking crazy algorithm. Basically, if you get a tough question right, but you mess up in an easy question, your grade gets bad. It's better for you to do good in the easy questions and do bad in the tough questions than doing good in the tough questions and doing bad in the easy questions. And because of that algorithm, like the test is graded by subject up to 1,000 points, but it's impossible to get 1,000 points in any subject that it's graded by the algorithm. So then it all comes down to like dissertation, because the dissertation is the only part of the test that it's not graded by a computer. So it's the only one that you can actually take.
So
1,000.
The whole thing on the computer?
No, it's not like
you just sit on the chair for like 5 hours.
It's multiple choice, and it's like 180 questions or something, like 90 per day or something like that, or 180 per day. I don't even know anymore.
It's a lot, yeah.
But it's just like such a brutal test. Like you stay there for like 2 days in a weekend. Imagine like 12 years of your life dedicated to those 12 hours. And it's like, if you mess up, you're fucked. You just lost everything. You're going to have to study another year. It's like, it's just insane. Like, it's just completely insane. And I just feel like the SATs are probably easier just because I have a feeling. I know that it's similar, but I really feel like it's a little easier, you know?
The only thing that I remember about my SAT experience was, I forget if it was like the second or third time I was taking it, but there was a girl in the room who was puking.
Oh my.
She threw up and they let her stay in the room. Oh my God. She proceeded to puke like 2 or 3 more times.
Oh my.
And my friend and I were sitting like relatively close and we were like, oh my God, what is happening right now? It was like so hard to focus.
I threw up before going to my test.
You saying that made me think of it.
It was just so bad. I was so anxious because it's like you have a Saturday and Sunday to take a test that's gonna, you know, decide what you're gonna do for your future. Because if you don't pass, if you don't get a good grade to get in a good school, then you need to wait a whole another year until you can take the test again. So I was like, oh my God, I'm freaking out.
Or go to a shitty university, because it's one exam to get in any, 99% of the universities in Brazil. And like getting to a good university is not even like a matter of like how good you do. It's like a matter of like how perfect you do. Because if you do good, you're not going to get into the best schools. And that comes back to what I see that it's different from schools here. It's not really schools, but like how the mentality goes. I feel like here you have public schools when you're a child and then your parents save money so they can pay for college. But then in Brazil, obviously, if you have the means, what happens is the opposite. Like you pay for private school when you're a kid, if you're able to, so that your kid can do as best as they can on the entrance exams to get into the schools that are public and they're good. So like the federal and state universities, they're all free in Brazil. But they're like super hard to get in, like if you are trying to get into a competitive major, you know. So I feel like it's the opposite of here, the mentality of, you know, when you're parenting your kids.
Private good universities?
There are.
Or they're just...
No, there are private good universities in Brazil, but they're...
Expensive.
They're very expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the idea is to like invest in your kid early on so that you don't have to pay later on, you know. And usually... I'm not going to say most of the private schools, but there are a lot of private colleges in Brazil that just are not really good, you know? Rema, did you have to do like a SAT to get in your college? What was your process to get in college?
I started at a community college and I did take the SATs. I was 15. I didn't put so much pressure on myself.
You talked about community college, which is, I feel like it's a very American idea, right? Like community college. I've never heard about it before coming here.
Yes, before. Yeah. I think it's an American thing because everywhere else that I'm familiar with, it's 4 years.
I feel like I've never even heard about community colleges in any movie at all. So
that's what his experience is based on.
I really don't understand why people see community colleges this so bad thing. I really don't understand. Maybe it's just like the foreigner in me that just sees like cheaper is better. But like community colleges are not bad at all. You know, yeah, maybe you don't get into a fraternity, but
I had a good experience with it. It was important for me to start off with in one because I was really young. And so going to a 4 year in a whole different continent, different culture would have been too overwhelming for me. So it was a nice way to kind of introduce myself to a different culture. I felt like I got a decent enough education, like I enjoy my career. I mean, I guess it depends on what field you want to get into in life. Perhaps that matters.
I think it's just a rap thing and like a mind block thing because I do community college and it's super fine. Like, honestly, the first time I came to the community college here, I was like, they have a better infrastructure than a lot of the private colleges in Brazil. It's like, are you guys saying that this is bad? Are you serious? Like my quote unquote good school in Brazil didn't even have like people cleaning. They didn't have cleaning because the university was on strike for like 6 months straight.
Oh, wow.
So when I come here and I see community college, I'm like, well, you know, I'm spending money, but it's way cheaper than normal university. I'm still getting the education that I need for 2 years. And the infrastructure is so good. It's just so perfect. By the way, for people who don't know what community college is, it's just these colleges that are like, they have a smaller infrastructure than universities that you would see on like American Pie or whatever. But I mean, that was my reference. Okay.
Frat parties and everything.
Yeah, exactly. That was my reference.
I was
waiting
for that.
Yeah. But you can only do 2 years in there, but it's way cheaper than doing a normal university. And then you can transfer to normal university that you would see in American Pie to complete the other 2 years on your major. I feel like it's really good. It's a really good thing. I think that the only other thing that I had in mind, there's two things that my sister was commenting about. My sister, again, she's from eighth grade. And she commented about two things that I wanted to fact check with you, Rema. The first thing is that she said that in elementary school, she couldn't like raise her hand to like ask permission to say something.
Oh my God.
No, wait. She could raise her hand, but if it was like her hand with like all five fingers pointing up, if it was just like one finger pointing up, like the index finger, her teacher would understand that that was like she wanted to go to the bathroom. Is that like a standardized thing for like elementary school?
It's not standardized.
They have like symbols for restroom or tissue, depending on which classroom you are.
Tissue.
So it depends on like who the teacher is. In my classroom, I don't have that. Like you can leave and as long as I'm not directly teaching, you can leave and just sign out and sign in case there's a fire drill. So I know where the students are. But in some classrooms, they use that so that the kids aren't interrupting in the middle of a lesson. You know, like, hey, teacher, watch this middle of talking. So they use a little symbol and then the teacher can give a nod or, you know, a yes or a no.
I would imagine that me as a kid, the professor would think that I wanted to go to the bathroom every time because I was one of these
always
kids.
Always raise one finger.
Well, thinking about it now, I think I always did that too. Only one finger.
Yeah, raise really? One finger. Yeah, why?
No, a whole hand all the time. No? You wave it around to make sure they see you.
No, you're talking with a professor. You're not waiting for a waitress.
Hello, I want to go to the bathroom.
Exactly, like.
It's different. Like some classrooms, you just cross your index and your middle finger. So I haven't seen the index pointing up.
What?
You got to get creative. If not, because we keep interrupting your lessons or, you know, talking out.
Instead of being like, teacher, I'm going to pee my pants.
Or they just pee their pants.
Yeah. And the other thing that I thought it was funny, but it's not funny about what happens here, but it's just, I was thinking about like how it happened in Brazil with me, and my sister was also talking with me, is that we also have a lunch in schools in Brazil. And we were realizing that we always had the professor like with us on the lunch, looking at us to see if we ate the food. Like, no, seriously.
That's new to me.
Like, seriously. She was saying that when she was in public school in Brazil, she once had a problem with that she had to go to the dean because she didn't really want to eat like...
She said beef liver.
Oh, yeah. Like, wait, I'm going to get to that. Like, she didn't really want to eat a part of the food. And they were like, no, you have to eat everything. If you put it in your plate, you have to eat it all.
What?
And then I realized that it happened to me too in private school. Like, I had this professor in first grade that she would make people put bananas in their plates. And her argument was that, well, at least she knows that the kids are eating the bananas at least, and they're eating something from the plate. Please correct me if I'm wrong here, but I feel like you don't need this in America because it serves pizzas to kids. Is that... Am I wrong, Cindy?
I mean, I would have never eaten beef liver in elementary school.
I still don't eat it.
Yeah, me neither. I hate it.
Like pizza or fish sticks or... I can't even remember what
else. There's just so many like, fried stuff that you guys serve to kids.
Or like burgers or like pasta and meatballs, spaghetti and meatballs. Generally, I think things that kids want to eat. But nobody ever like stood over to watch that I
Because they don't everything. Have to. They don't have to. You can't. They don't have like, to stand
was,
over.
Was bringing your lunch not a thing? Everybody bought,
it was,
no.
Everybody bought lunch?
In my school, it wasn't.
Everybody bought it?
They would provide, yeah.
In public schools, you don't have to buy it. You know, it's free. And in private schools, it's, you know, you're already paying for the school. So I don't really know if all private schools, my private school had.
But it's not like it was a great lunch. You know, it was
that
free lunch. You know, that's not the best, but it's good.
What we ate was, as Cindy pointed out, was like rice, beans, mashed potatoes, and like beef liver. It would never be like pizza or pasta. If it ever was pizza or pasta, I would eat it like, you know, I was super happy. Rema, did you have lunch in your schools when you were a kid?
Yeah, well, you have the option of having lunch or not. Well, it was like when I lived in Paris, it was like a 5-course meal.
Oh my God.
Jesus.
And you had like really good food. It was amazing.
Did they have like wine served as well?
No, it was like French food, different kinds of pastas as well. I mean, yeah, it was like a, I don't know, being at a restaurant, maybe it was good.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. My God.
When I lived in Nigeria, it wasn't like that. But that's because school was out before, I think, I don't remember why, but I don't remember having lunch when I went to school in Nigeria. But the private schools, yeah, lunch was included.
My gosh, I really want to go to a private school in France right now. Just have a nice 5-course meal, you know? Like, it's something that we haven't had for a little while, like, now Corona.
Thanks, Corona.
Here, my kids... Initially, they would take lunch from home, but they actually enjoy school lunches. So I guess it's changed since the movies, because I know at the in the movies, school lunch is like frowned upon. But my kids like school lunches.
They like serve you some mystery meat and like slop it on with a ice cream or whatever. No, that's what you see like when people like make fun of school lunches. But I liked school lunches too. I mean, I think it just depends.
Yeah, it depends, because they get like whole grain stuff. They got chicken nuggets, they get grilled chicken, they get pizza. They get pretty good lunches.
That's pretty nice.
They get very amazing lunches. Like, I remember the first time Manuela got into elementary school and we got to see the like the schedule with the menus for the days. And the picks were like burger or pizza, or like chicken patty or pasta, or like grilled cheese or peanut butter and jelly. And I was like, Jesus Christ. Like,
I can't decide.
It's like the child's dream. I just wish I had pizza when I was a kid.